Greetings, grammarians. Our Wednesday non-word of the day is irregardless.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. It's just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Sorry, I'm just not.
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And we haven't started, and we've started. So I've been on for literally 15 seconds. But you know, let's not even get into that. Let me tell you, if you are listening to the sound of my voice, thank you for joining Radio Irregardless. There is three ways you can listen, and I'm working on more, but there's three ways currently. First, you can listen through Facebook Live, because that's what we're doing, and I'm working on a way to get that to connect to my website, which is markscalia.com, and check out more of that site, because spring is in the air, things are happening, calendar's getting propagated. You like that? Propagated? So that's the first and second way, well, technically, the same way. And the next way, or the only other way, is to listen to the Slightly Edited for Time podcast version of the show, available through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. So as I always start the show the same way, I bring you up to speed about what's been going on with myself in the Happening Now monologue.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to them?
That's it.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
Let's just talk about a couple things. You might notice my camera view is very different because I'm using new technology. This is my video camera. So at some point it could shut off. But I'm using my video camera as a webcam because the pandemic has made me busy. I have invested so much time and so much energy in new technology. Some of it's been failing, and I'm still learning it, but I'm pretty good about doing a bunch of stuff. I got this today. I got to show you this. This is a very old Mac keyboard, old Apple keyboard. I bought it for $7 at Savers. Not that I'm promoting Savers or anything, but I bought it at Savers, and I cleaned it. I took all the keys off. Which you're thinking, oh, take the keys off a keyboard, not a problem. Put them back on. That's kind of an issue. Because you would think you would know what these things are. But some of the keys are easy. But I cleaned it all up. It is so good. And I've been trying to restore old technology. I have a 2008 MacBook that I've been trying to restore. I had some issues with that. And here's the thing. You guys may not know this about me. I'm technologically very savvy. I can figure stuff out pretty quick. Social media, no. I hate it. Like, I'll give you an example. My wife said, oh, you're going to post tonight about the show? Because we have a really special guest. And she said, I'll post it. I'll help you do that. I'll put it on Instagram. And then as a result, it'll connect to Facebook. And it's all this stuff. Can you just share it? Because it's on my comedy page, which I'm trying to get everybody to go to the comedy page so I can broadcast these through the comedy page. But I got more people following me through a personal. Anyway, so I was like, yeah, I got that. And I set it up. And she's like, would you share it? And you can't share it that way. So I had to copy it and paste it. And then she's like, you didn't put it on your personal page. I go, yeah, I did. And I just checked it. And it's on my personal page. She can't see it. But the thing is, I hate social media. And I know I'm using it to broadcast. Irony. But technologically, I'm very advanced. All my computers work super cool. My iMac, I've got VMware on it, so I have older versions of, I have Windows 10, I have older version of a Mac, I have Mac OS, I think 7, I've got another Mac OS on it, because I've got older software that won't work on the new machine, so therefore, I need this VMware so I can do that, and I've hooked up printers and the cables and everything works, and the same thing for my laptop, and now I've got a 2008 MacBook, which is in pristine condition. Like, literally, I've had a cover on the keys, everything's bright white, and I want to figure out how to use it, so I've been trying to put Windows 10 on it, and I fried it. Usually when you start up a Mac, you just hit the recovery mode, and you can upload whatever newest OS is, and I burnt that out, so I spent another 2 hours trying to load it back up. Now it's working fine. Now it's back to where it was, which is great. But now I'm still trying to put, like I'm obsessed with trying to fix, like, there's nothing wrong. And I want the usefulness of it. Tech. And you guys may not know this, but I've kind of been under the weather the past few weeks. I've been vertigoing. I haven't been going anywhere. I've just been vertigoing. So I went to the doctor on Monday, and they literally said, you have no ear infection. There's nothing wrong with your ear, but I'm probably over the infection. But if you've ever had vertigo, it is I don't know what bad is in relative. I mean, we're in a pandemic, so bad is a relative term. But vertigo is unfriendly to you, and it just makes you angry. And you know, when it happens, like right now I'm good, so I'm not angry. But if I tilt my head too much or tip my head, I get dizzy. Boom, boom. I should play that. And I got the song in my head now. Yeah. I played like 6 seconds of it because Facebook, you know, everybody owns shit. Great. Dizzy. Okay, whatever. Whatever, I know. I was dizzy, so I'm not dizzy anymore. It's a little blurb. What else do I got going on? Let me check. Oh, it's warming up. All the snow is gone, which is good because, I don't know, they were freaking out. Every day, it's snow. It's going to be warm, and it's going to be cold. I think I got problems. Weathermen are bipolar. I swear to God. I don't have a job that makes me, like, get that excited about stuff. I tell jokes. I like telling jokes. I act, I do a little directing, do a little writing. That's my stuff. But if I went, oh my God, I got to tell jokes. Oh my God, I got to tell jokes. I'd be miserable. But I hope it gets warm soon because Easter is coming. And you know what that means? The bunny's coming.
It's Easter rabbit, hooray. Making life funny, hooray.
And just like last year, I think we're going to do some home visits. And if you guys want the Easter Bunny to visit your house, visit SalemFoodTours.com and check out her link, because the Easter Bunny will visit your house. And we were about 15, 20 minutes, we're there, and we kind of, you know, play with the kids from the outside. We run around the house, and the Easter Bunny does stuff, and everybody loves the Easter Bunny. Check out that SalemFoodTours.com, Easter Bunny visits, and book an Easter Bunny visit for yourself. So speaking of days and things coming up, I've been doing this a while, totally love it, and today's kind of, I'll be honest, it's not a great day, but it's this day in history.
Wait till I tell you what happened today.
Would you please explain some of what happened today to me, please? Will you? Huh? Huh? Huh?
And now, Radio Irregardlesses, This Day in History.
So it's weird because some days are really interesting, the things that have happened on the day, and some days, like today, is mildly, So, but every day is above ground's a good day. So let's see. In 1803, the Supreme Court had its first ruling on a law that was unconstitutional. Marbury versus Madison. I don't know what the law was. I didn't do that kind of research. 1821, Mexico gains its independence from Spain. Everybody thinks it's Cinco de Mayo. See, it's wrong. 1857, this is funny, because I've talked about a bunch of different stuff about the Postal Service, but the first perforated U.S. postage stamp delivered to the government. Perforated. Like, now you can tear them. Before that, you had to cut them. Like, does that even enter your mind that 1857 is when they went, oh, let's do that? 1868, the House of Representatives vote 126-47 to impeach President Andrew Johnson. 1903, U.S. signs agreement acquiring a naval station at Guantanamo Bay. 1921, the first transcontinental flight in 24 hours flying time arrived in Florida. It's bizarre that in 1921, we got around the planet. 1921, 100 years ago, was the first around. And now we got all this stuff. 1938, DuPont, which is a chemical company, begins commercial production of nylon toothbrush bristles, which leads me to the question, what were they used before? Horsehair? I don't know. Wire? 1968, the first pulsar was discovered. It was CP-1919 by Jocelyn Burnell at Cambridge. Again, it's kind of cool, but it's like, slow news day. 1989, Margaret Ray was found in David Letterman's home, claiming to be his wife. 1989. And of course, in 2013, Los Angeles, the 85th Academy Awards was held. Argo was the one that won Best Picture. Ang Lee wins for Best Director. Daniel Day-Lewis wins for Best Actor. I believe that There Will Be Blood. I'm an oil man. Yes, I'm an oil man. This is my son, and we're an oil man. And I'm here to milkshake! Killer. And Jennifer Lawrence won for Best Actress. I believe that's when she fell. She did that little stumble. Anyway, that's what this day in history is. And I was going to do birthdays, but to be honest with you, it's a very boring birthday. Like, it's all of YouTube and TikTok and stuff like that. Actually, Steve Jobs, today is his birthday. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. Stay with me during the break because we're going to do a little promo of my guest, Joel Klein, will be joining me. You are listening to Radio Regardless. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pat Napoli. I'm on Irregardless with Mark Scalia, and I can't believe I'm doing this tonight. I should be washing my cat. But anyways, that's it. That's my life.
And now, Radio Irregardless presents Joel Klein.
I'm married 26 years. When you're married 26 years, Netflix and chill,
very different meaning.
For us, it means eating a bowl of ice cream while we watch a true crime documentary about spouses that kill. And it's not like my wife and I want to murder each other. I just want her to know I'm not the worst husband in the world. And there is nothing chill about Netflix. Because when that countdown clock comes on the screen, and Netflix tells me I have 5 seconds to decide if I want another watch another episode, my anxiety kicks in. I start running around going, what do I do? What do I do? Like I'm a contestant on The Price is Right. But too late. Ba-bum! The big red N is on the screen and the episode is started. My wife said, just stop it, we'll watch it tomorrow, and we'll go to sleep. Like a psychopath. How can she talk about sleep when we know we have a resumed watching our cue? And I don't think she took into consideration that the red lines under the episode aren't gonna match. We'll go to sleep. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you? That's how all the true crime documentaries start.
And you're back at Radio Regardless with me, your host, Mark Scully. And joining me via Zoom is the aforementioned, very funny, Joel Klein. There he is. So comfortable.
Hello.
It's just like lounging.
It's a pandemic. What do you do? Don't you do talk shows by sitting on the couch? Carson always had someone on the couch.
That's why you're sitting and that's why I'm standing. So how you been, Joel?
I'm good.
It's really good to see you. I mean, you were at the Casino Comedy Festival a couple years ago in 2020, and I think we had a snowstorm that night that you were on, the Saturday night.
I remember telling you, like, hey, it's snowing, so after my set, I'm not going to stick around. I'm just going to take off. I was driving back to Vermont.
Yeah.
And I got about an hour out of Salem and then had to pull over and stay in a hotel.
Oh, my God.
That's how bad the driving was. I couldn't even see the road in front of me. Everybody, it was crazy. So it was like I should have just stayed and hung out with everybody at the distillery.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, but it was the same thing. I think we had another comic from Rhode Island, and everybody, like, had to take off right away. There were one or two comics they have he was from Philly or Jersey, and they drove back. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, I felt bad. I mean, but I'm like, I can't. If I could control the weather, I wouldn't be putting on a comedy festival. But it's good to see you. Now, you and I talked a little bit during the pre-show, but we'll bring everybody in. So have you been working a lot during the pandemic as a stand-up?
No.
No. That's a quick answer.
Thank Duh.
You. There we go.
It hit, right? Yeah. I was doing the Gilda Laugh Fest in Grand Rapids when everything started shutting down.
Wow.
And it was that March. And I got on a flight, and as I was coming back, I did my show. I was flying back, but as I was sitting at the airport, they were just started canceling flights and all this stuff. And all I was like, I hope I get home. And that, I think, was the last time I performed, was that night in Grand Rapids. But I haven't done anything here. I mean, I've been, I know people are doing Zoom shows, but no offense to your show here, but I just don't get excited about Zoom shows.
Usually I haven't had a guest. And when I've had a guest, we've done just audio because this is it's a podcast. But over the maybe 2 years or so with Facebook Live, I've had the guests call in. So they've been audio and I've been video. But now, because everything is Zoom and you can do this and that and the other thing, and, you know, why not see people? I mean, you know, we got a bunch of listeners. They're like, hey, he's here and I'm here. I mean, we're trying to entertain people, but I had to shower, from the waist up. I'm not wearing pants. I don't care.
I have a sweater on and sweats.
I'm like, I got to go back to buttons.
I'm on the couch. I have a sweater on. I have sweats. I have slipper socks on. I'm like,
slipper socks.
I'm ready to go.
That's exactly what you'd be on. You'd be on the couch for Carson.
That's the same thing.
So you were working pretty well. And, then the pandemic hit. But tell the listeners more about you. Where are you from? How long have you been doing it? Where do you perform?
I come from television. I actually work in television. I produce reality shows and game shows, mostly game shows. And I've been doing that for, I've been doing that for since I was, right out of college. So 30 years I've been doing this. And then I always had the dream of doing stand-up. Always wanted to do stand-up. And 4 years ago, I took a workshop, a stand-up workshop that was being done out of the Vermont Comedy Club. And I have friends, because I had worked with a bunch of stand-ups in television, and they all told me, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to do it and be done with it, or you're going to become obsessed.
Right.
And I became obsessed. And I just got so into it and just kept doing it. And then, so I've been doing stand-up now for about 4 years. And I started getting booked, and I was doing festivals, and I was starting to go and do other shows in other cities and things like that. And, it was all really starting to, I was going and doing a lot in the pandemic.
Yeah.
But hopefully, when this all comes back, I'll just get right back into it.
Yeah. Well, like we were talking about it, there's a lot of comics, and they were just starting to do it maybe a year, 2 years. And I met a lot of comics who one of the finalists of last year or this year's Boston Comedy Festival had never been on a live stage before.
Wow.
That's bizarre to me. Bizarre.
Well, I saw that some of the comedy schools and stuff like that are now having Zoom comedy schools, like how to just become good at Zoom comedy.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, it's going to stay this way. Even when people go back, there's still going to be Zoom shows. I don't know. I think it's
well, there will. There. Yeah, there will be Zoom shows.
I don't
shows.
Think people are going to.
No.
You want to be in a club. You want to see people live. You want to, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, I've got one of the, where is it? I've got one of those that you can see it right up there. I've got an Oculus that I got when I got my phone, and you put it on and they have all these apps or stuff, and you can go to museums. You can go to the Louvre. Now, if there wasn't a pandemic, you'd still be going. Yeah. So the Zoom thing is a good temporary fix, but yeah, I mean, it might be part of it. It might be part of stand up.
Yeah.
But it certainly won't take over. But I don't know. I've been doing it 30 years, and I hope it gets back to some semi-normal. I mean, that would be nice, you know, live people.
I mean, I don't think it'll be this summer, but by next summer, I think we'll be back.
Yeah, well, summers are always bad, but maybe this summer, maybe 2022 is our year, Joel. Yeah.
You no longer will complain about doing outdoor shows. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll do an outdoor show.
Oh, my God. The first thing when this all hit, we were doing outdoor shows, and people were like, oh, my God, how are we going to do an outdoor show? It's like I was doing outdoor shows like 3 months into stand-up. We were doing shows around pools at condo communities, you know, doing a community night. And people were like, I don't know. How do I tell jokes outside? What if they don't laugh? Well, if they don't laugh, you don't hear them. That's the way that that's the way that friggin' shit works. Yeah. So what have you been doing to pass your time as non-stand-up?
I've been writing. I wrote a couple screenplays, and I've been working on writing some stand-up, but it's just hard to get motivated to write stand-up when you can't get up and perform it. But now, you know, after, you know, shitting on Zoom shows, I do have one coming up in March.
I wouldn't do a Zoom show. You paid me. I have five in March.
Well, they're paying me, so I'm doing it next month.
I got six in March.
which got me at least motivated to go and start writing stand-up again.
Good.
And doing that. And like I said, I wrote a couple screenplays. And because my day job is television production, I've been working on development of with a couple companies. There's a couple game shows we're trying to create and develop and pitch. So, you know.
So
as I always say, busy with a whole lot of nothing.
I've known you for a couple of years now. When you said, oh, yeah, I've done this and I'm in TV shows, I was like, how did I not know that?
I don't really tell a whole lot of people here.
I thought I lost my mind. I was like, did he tell me?
Because most people are like, who cares? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not that big. It's, you know, because then they all say, well, you know, there's any shows that I know of. And I've done a million pilots. As I said, I've done, you know, so many pilots, I could be a flight attendant. I did Fear Factor, and I produced Family Feud, and I did a bunch of, and I worked on Hollywood Squares. I did all these shows, and it's a different world from what I do now.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a newbie to stand up. I've only been doing it 4 years, so I have a lot of friends. All my friends are now in their 20s, and so I hang out with them, and we're all on the same level. And I don't ever want to be the older white guy, male, you know, who's going to tell you how to do things. Or I don't even like bringing in, well, I'm a television producer, so do it this way. It's no, we're all at the same level in stand up. And so to me, I'm just one of the folks. So I don't really bring it up.
I don't know. I think you should bring it up, because I would have talked to you about that stuff. Because, I mean, I've been in film. I do directing and filmmaking. It would be, not just, you know, kind of, oh, he's got an in, but certainly to talk more about something different other than stand-up. Because sometimes when you talk to stand-up comics, it turns into the me show. And I'm like, dude, do you have a family?
That's what's funny is, like, to me, talking about stand-up is not doing the me show, talking about me doing television.
Right.
So that's why.
Oh, I get you.
but yeah, I mean, I've done some jokes about television, and people always say I need to work it in more, because I've worked on like game shows, which is like, it's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
People go, oh, you work in TV. They think scripted, but you go, no, I had a career in game shows. And they're like, that's insane that you can do a career in game shows. And they said, you need to work it into the routine. And I'm less like, it's so everyday to me.
Yeah.
I don't see what's in there, but But I am finding things because, like, I've done a bit about how I got into the Writers Guild because I was a writer on a game show called That's My Dog, which was a game show for dogs.
Wait a minute, a game show for dogs?
Or dogs. Dogs were the contestants. Dogs and their owners were the contestants.
Oh, well, that I get. I'm just,
so you would come on.
Because I've been on YouTube and I've seen videos for cats.
If you search YouTube, you can search That's My Dog. It was hosted by Will Schreiner. Will Schreiner was the host. And I was a writer on it, so I had to come up with a bunch of
things. Wasn't it on Nickelodeon?
It was on Family Channel.
Family Channel, that's it. I remember that.
It was on Family Channel.
I remember that.
It was on Family Channel. And, you know, I had to write things like the intro, you know, like, so there was an opening line. And Will would come out and say, "Welcome to the show that gets things done, ASPCA.
Oh, wow.
Duh.
Welcome to the show that makes Pavlov salivate. So, I would, so that's how I got into the Writers Guild, which was great. I got to work on shows that were hosted or by stand-ups or had guests that were stand-ups. Like my first job, my first 3 years working in television, I worked on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, nice.
And so I spent 2 years working with Joan Rivers.
Was it the reboot of it? It wasn't the original.
It was one of the reboots. It was the John Davidson.
It was the John Davidson one. Wow. Yeah.
So the new Hollywood Square is what it was called.
Yeah.
And it was, and Joan Rivers was the center square.
Yeah.
And,
which,
you know,
is the coveted spot. That's the coveted spot. Because Paul Lynde was the original center.
The original. But, you know, working with Joan was like, she taught me so much about comedy.
Yeah.
Sitting around with her. And she, you know, she was incredible like that. But, you know, we had so many guests on that, you know, and then I did Fear Factor. So I worked with Rogan.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and then. I work with so many stand-ups. I got to learn stand-up by never doing it just because I worked with them so much.
That's funny. So. Well, speaking of Fear Factor, I have written a game especially for you, Joel, because, okay. I mean, we had some talk, and I know, and I put this together very short, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And we do have a lot of listeners, so you will be competing directly against my listening audience. So stay with us. Everybody who's on Facebook, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Regardless.
I've got a surprise for you.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected.
They're back.
So what do you want to do?
And police still targeting them.
Tonight, Dateline's hidden cameras are in an undercover house complete with a hot tub.
So did you bring your swim trunks?
And Craigslist, we talk about oral sex.
There's the internet addict who comes clean.
I'm too old for this shit.
And the Marine sniper who comes armed.
Oh, it's all Sally. She's Bill Sweet. She got everything.
What's in store for all of these men? Chris Hansen with a new To Catch a Predator.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
This is Nick Crowley, and you're listening to Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia, and I couldn't even get my family to listen.
And you are back at Radio Regardless with me, your host. What? I was so distracted. You're back in Radio Regardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And still with me is Joel Klein. And we're still broadcasting on Facebook Live through Zoom. All the technology is working out so much. So, Joel, I think I muted it halfway through, so some of our listeners didn't hear some of that. But it doesn't really matter. So, before we left for break, we had established that you have been a producer on a lot of game shows. That's My Dog, was it?
Yeah, that was one of my first shows.
Google it, bitches. Just Google it.
And go on YouTube. You'll see there's a few episodes on there.
And you know something? I love game shows, and I'm around your demographic, so I like game shows. But I grew up with, you know, Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal, and The Price is Right, and Password. Used to watch Password all the time. And Whose Line Is It Anyway? big improv game. Even before that, what was it? To Tell the Truth, you know, things like that. So as part of my show, I love to incorporate some kind of game because I have these comics and I have actors and writers and directors and I have people from all over. And I just want to challenge them a little bit. So I'm going to play a game with you. So we're going to play Homemade Fear Factor. Now, I am not Joe Rogan, but I know him, and I could be a stand-in. But I love Joe. We used to work together all the time when he was in Boston. For those of you who don't remember, Fear Factor was a show where they made you either do stunts or they enlisted some type of death-defying task that you had to do, and if you didn't do it, you were out of the game. And a lot of them were like, but you're competing in each show was it $100,000?
50.
It was $50,000. And people are always like, well,
everybody will do it for $100,000. We wanted the people who are like, oh, I'll do it for 50.
And that's people like, how much would it take? You know, what would you do? And, you know, like I'd eat this or, and like, but that show really put you to the task. I mean, there were a lot of cool stuff like driving and, you know, high wire acts and jumping and there was a lot of physical stuff, which was actually tough.
A lot of stuff with helicopters. A
lot of helicopters, which as you may know, helicopters are really expensive.
Just the insurance on the stunt for helicopters was really expensive.
But luckily, we're not doing any of that with you today, Joel. What one of the highlights was Joe Rogan would have the contestants eat something. And it was a very strange thing. But it wouldn't be anything that would kill them. It would just be something extremely strange. Now, because you were a producer in the show, I don't know if you produced all the shows, some of the shows, most of the shows.
I was in the first couple seasons, and my job... I was supervising producer on it. My job was actually, I oversaw the creative. So I came up with all the stunts. And the games based off of what people were eating. So there was another producer. He would find all of the items that they would eat. And then they would come to me and then go, okay, we need a game based on it. And then I would create a game. Like one of my favorite ones was Fear Factor Poker.
Oh, I remember that.
Eating brains.
So, yes. So they were cow brains. Cow brains. Yes.
So we had special cards made up that we either had a quarter, half, or three quarter on the cards, like playing cards. Mm-hmm. And you were dealt cards. And then you would, you know, like draw poker. You throw some cards away and get them. And whatever your total was that's what you had to eat of how many brains. So it would either you add up a quarter, half, three quarter, how many, whatever your cards added up to, that would be placed in front of you. And then you had 2 minutes to eat all the cow brains.
It's like a game, poker game. It's like Pass the Trash, where you'd have to get the worst hand possible if you wanted to eat cow brains.
The worst, the best you could get would be three quarters, because you'd have three cards at a quarter, so it would be great. But, you know, you could end up eating
possibly
a lot of
three brains. But that's just one. So I'm going to ask
you. An animal penis was one, too.
There's a few. So here's what it is. I have 12 of them. I'm going to give you one, because I always have one as the gimme. Okay. So this is called Fear Factor or Delicacy. Something they ate on Fear Factor, or it's a delicacy that people eat around the world. And you might be surprised. But here's what we got. We got a lot of people listening. If you want to participate, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is type in the answer. Now, Joel, you have the distinct advantage of speaking to me via Zoom, which we are almost no delay in our communication. But as we broadcast through the internet, there is a slight delay, and I'm actually checking the delay now, before the audience can jump. We're going to go kind of speed round, and I got some really funny sounds in case you get it wrong.
Okay.
All right. So here's what we got, and I'm watching my audience. Let me move some windows.
So does your audience win anything?
My audience just wins the fact that they beat you.
Oh, okay.
That's it. So the first one is a gimme.
So basically, they're like the bullies in school.
Yes, they don't get anything.
They just get the satisfaction that they beat me.
That's right. But here's the thing. Because you have a 20-second head start, that's your advantage. Your disadvantage is there's more of them than of you.
All right.
All right? And here's the first one, okay? It's a gimme. Horse rectum.
That's not a delicacy. That's just fear factor.
That's fear factor. So you got that right.
Fear is not a factor for you.
Correct. You got that right. So which fucking horse wrecked him?
I remember that stunt.
Wrecked him. It damn near killed him. Anyway.
Even better. Even better. Could you imagine the production meeting when I had to go, how much horse wrecked him? Can you eat in 2 minutes? Do we need to give him 2 minutes or 3 minutes to eat this rectum?
Right.
That is the kind of meetings that I would be in.
What were your?
What did you do at work?
You must have like an EMT just going, oh no, 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 no.
We did have to run everything. Well, here's an interesting fact before we go any further with the game is that we found out when we were going to have contestants eat cockroaches that we had everything checked, you know, and our medical advisor told us we had to check for shellfish allergies, because if you have a shellfish allergy, you would be allergic to cockroaches because they come from the same family. So we had to make sure that no one had an allergy to shrimp, otherwise they couldn't eat the cockroach.
Oh my God.
The other thing about cockroaches is you got to chew them up real good because they fight trying to come back up your throat. So you got to make sure they're dead.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm a big animal. Like, I'm not a huge animal rights person, but I didn't like that part. Like, if the things were already dead, I understood it, but I didn't like eating live animals. And I just. Well,
PETA did complain, and we're like, they're cockroaches. We didn't. It's like. So, you know, it was hard to. It wasn't like, you know, we were taking kittens and, you know.
But did that ever come up?
Kittens? Eating kittens did not come up. No, kittens didn't come up.
How many kittens can you eat in 2 minutes?
Because you know the wordplay on this, the go-to next to with what?
Yes.
Whatever.
All right. So now my listeners are totally grossed out because they're like, oh, yeah. Gross. That's terrible. Oh, fair.
But they learned something about cockroaches.
Yes. And they're going to, well, that's, I didn't know that.
Don't eat one if you're allergic to the shellfish.
All right, just in case. It's your little PSA for the night, everybody. All right, here's your first one. Fear factor or delicacy? Ant larvae.
That's a delicacy.
Yummy, yummy. Yummy, yummy. It is a delicacy. That's your first one. How about this one? African cave-dwelling spiders.
That's just fear factor.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Alligator eyeballs.
Fear factor.
Fear is not a factor for you.
Boiled buffalo testicles.
That's a delicacy.
No, it is not.
I think I'm going to be sick.
That was the big one. Yeah, they went.
You
won.
Know what?
No.
Have you had one? Don't knock it. Don't say it's not a delicacy unless you've tried it.
Well, no, those are Rocky Mountain oysters, right. But these things were boiled and they were literally like the size of ostrich eggs. And
they were huge.
They were huge. And the one girl ate it. She goes, you know, if I had to describe what a testicle tasted like, that's what it would say. And I'm like, what? You didn't describe anything.
Oh, here's another interesting thing. If you want to hear about it.
Sure,
is back to the cockroaches. Is obviously we make sure these things are very clean. These aren't cockroaches we found like, you know, in my basement.
Yeah.
These
are medical grade cockroaches.
Yeah, medical grade cockroaches. We had to get them. And after eating them, one of our contestants came to us like, this is so crazy. Cockroaches taste like apples. No, ours do because that's all they ate were apples their entire life.
What?
Well, we fed them apples. I mean, they never ate anything. So that way their body was completely clean.
Oh.
So when this guy ate the cockroach, he goes, that's crazy. Cockroaches taste like apples.
Now everybody's bumped out.
Yeah, so not only do they fight back, they don't taste like apples.
They don't fight. No, not real ones. Oh, my God. Yeah. That is funny as shit. Oh, my God. So you got that one wrong. Sheep eyes. Fear factor or delicacy?
Ooh, sheep eyes.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one because there are eyes that are eaten, but I'm going to go with fear factor on that one.
Sheep eyes is fear factor.
Fear is not a factor for you.
That's right. And speaking of eyes, how about alligator eyeballs?
I would go Fear Factor.
That is Fear Factor.
Fear is not a factor for you.
How about unborn? This is one of the nastiest ones. Unborn duck fetus.
Come on. Blue egg. Of course. It's a delicacy.
It's a delicacy.
It's called blue egg. It's blue egg. It is a fertilized duck egg.
Yeah.
2 weeks away from hatching. And it is eaten. And there's two nicknames for it. It's the eggs with legs or the treat with feet. And when you serve it, it actually looks like a soft-boiled egg with a little duck fetus in it.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry I did this game. And believe it or not, when the contestants ate it, they were actually like, wow, that actually tastes good. Yeah,
because it is. It's a delicacy.
We only did it once. We only did it once because they all enjoyed it. They all said it tasted good.
It's like, it's not even bad. Or how about this one? Oh. Fish sperm. Delicacy or Fear Factor?
I'm going to guess delicacy on that one.
I think I'm going to be sick.
It is correct. It is. Fish sperm is a delicacy. My listeners are saying, LOL, it's slightly disturbing how fast he's answering, how much stuff he knows. My sister says I'm going to hurl.
I think I'm going to be sick.
I literally made a career on this stuff.
That's funny. How about tomato hornworms?
That's Fear Factor.
That's Fear Factor.
Fear is not a factor for you.
Ugh. Those are nasty looking. Those are really nasty looking.
I saw pictures. How about this one? Donkey semen and urine.
Okay. This one I have an issue with because they did it after I left.
Wait a minute. This one you have an issue with.
This one I did.
Because they did it after you left?
They did it after I left because when I was there, I refused to let them. I wouldn't let them do this. I thought it was over the top.
It is over the top. I'm glad.
And as a matter of fact, I don't think that episode, I think it aired once and then NBC pulled it and it never aired again. Because it was over the top. They pitched it and I would kept saying no in the meetings. Oh. But after I left to go do other shows, they ended up doing it and it was,
It's so weird because the thing was,
you do have to have a line.
Yeah, I know. And the thing was when people would ask Joe, how do you feel about doing all this stuff? And he goes, look, the producers are putting the game. Like he was just like, hey, it's not my job, man. He goes, the producers are putting it together. If people want to win money, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. You know, but it's.
I mean, their answer to it was you can say no. But the thing is, if you say no, you're out of the game. And I think that was really an unfair.
Yeah.
Because that one was over the top. You know what I mean? Because we'll finish the game. And then. That one was over the top.
How about this one? Blended rats.
Oh, that's Fear Factor.
Fear is not a factor for you.
Blended. God save the
queen. Also after me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, these are not Joel Klein's responsibilities.
Those last two are not mine.
Those are not yours.
And go, oh, those are horrible. Because the other ones, as you saw, were delicacy and things like that. So there was some reason to why they were eaten. I always wanted things to be motivated as to why they were being eaten. They were eaten someplace in the world or a version of what was eaten in the world. So you said like the bull testicles, it was a version of.
It is. Rocky Mountain oysters and that's it.
Exactly.
And they do, they take tarantulas and they fry tarantulas, they eat tarantulas, you know.
So we wanted, when I was there, I wanted everything to be at least be motivated that it was from somewhere in the world.
Ugh.
And you know, the blended rats, that's just, I don't know. That's just wrong.
This is wrong.
Donkey semen was just wrong. It was, that didn't make sense.
That's just wrong.
But here's funny, is doing research for finding these things, like what was disgusting, eaten in other countries. When I got to the United States, like what do people think is disgusting in the United States? And one of the things that the rest of the world thinks is disgusting is that we drink iced tea.
Really?
Yeah. Like it was on the list of gross things Americans eat or drink. And iced tea was always up at the top of the list because the rest of the world thinks it's crazy that we drink our tea iced.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're eating fertilized duck egg and I'm drinking an iced tea and I'm the gross one.
That's funny. Well, the very last one, which I put at the bottom because it's super tricky.
Okay.
earthworms?
Ooh, that is a tricky one. I'm going to say... I'm going to say Fear Factor.
No.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Earthworms are a delicacy.
I know that they can be replacements for beef. I just didn't think they were going to be considered a delicacy.
Well, I put down delicacy because it's not Fear Factor. Like, I'm not going to eat them. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, we had an old phrase. You might remember this little song. When I was...
I know exactly where you're going.
When I was upset. Yeah, when I was upset. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Skinny one, fat one, tall one, short ones. I'm going to go eat worms. What's the song you know?
Oh, it was like great big gobs of green gushy gopher guts, granulated monkey's meat, little birdie's bloody feet, all mixed together with all-purpose porpoise puss. Gee, I forgot my spoon.
You know something? In 50 years, somebody's going to dig up that little gem and be like, what?
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our third and final break, and I'm going to tabulate all the scores, and I think it's pretty easy because the audience was so gross, they didn't put down a single answer. But when I come back, we're going to talk to Joel Klein and ask him about his first time, his best time, and his worst time on stage. You are listening to Radio Irregardless. We'll be right back.
Love food and wine? Get to know Salem, Mass in a fun and delicious way. Join me on a Salem food tour. Our 5-star rated walking tour gives guests the perfect opportunity to enjoy an afternoon with friends or coworkers. Great for locals and visitors, our tours book in advance and can be crafted for your special event. For more information on our tours and to make reservations, please visit us at salemfoodtours.com.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And I just realized that we talked about eating all these things, and then I did a commercial for my wife's food tours. Her food tours are not even remotely close to a Fear Factor game show, but I'm sure she'll appreciate the irony of playing that. So here's what I got. Oh, and I meant to tell you this, guys. If you want to know more about Joel and you want to follow him, now he's not doing a lot of stand-up now because of the pandemic, but he does have some Zoom shows coming up. You can follow him, or as I like to say, you can free stalk him on Instagram and Twitter. He's at the Joel Klein. That is THEJOELKLEIN. I'll say it again a little faster. That is Instagram and Twitter at the Joel Klein. That is THEJOELKLEIN. The Joel Klein. Free stalk him. Find out what he's got going on. And every once in a while, tag him and ask him if he's had spiders or something. My wife said they did crickets. They did sample crickets at one point. Crickets are actually good.
Yeah, I think we did crickets on the show. You know what actually was one of the hardest stunts? Because we would practice them where we'd all try them. And like the big physical ones, you know, like the PAs, everybody would like try to do things and we'd pay everybody extra money to go and do them. So you had to see how regular people did stuff.
Yeah.
Because the stuntmen would do it first to make sure it was safe. And then we do for timing and things like that. And the eating ones, we would all kind of do it. And so for good morale to the producers, we would do some of the stunts. And I'm not getting up on heights or any of that other stuff. Ugh. So I did some of the eating ones. And I did stuff. So I ate mealworms. I did a few of these things. The hardest one was you had to put your head inside this like aquarium. And we had like 300 flies in there.
Oh, that, and yeah, the flies. Oh,
it was torture. Torture, because it was so loud, the buzzing. And then you tried to keep everything closed, but they would get in your mouth, they'd get in your nose, in your ears, and the buzzing. Doing 2 minutes in that was horrible. It was one of the worst things I've ever done. And I'm like, I'll stick my head in the aquarium with the flies. It's going to be easy. And it was like, no, that was unbelievably hard.
The stuff of nightmares. Jesus Christ. That's so funny. But you, see, these are the stories you need to tell on stage because they're funny.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to watch this podcast now and then go, oh, yeah, I got to write that stuff down.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The whole thing was like, oh, yeah, eating a mealyworm. No big deal. You know, well, it's like when Fear Factor ended, he talked a lot about doing the stuff about because he actually went, are you crazy? People did this stuff. He goes, I wouldn't do it. But before we let you go, let's talk about you a little bit more. And again, free stalk him at Instagram and Twitter at the Joel Klein. But tell us about your first time, your best time, and your worst time on stage.
My first time, as I was saying at the very beginning, is I'd always wanted to do stand-up. Always wanted to do it. It was my dream. And living here in Vermont, the Vermont Comedy Club was offering classes. And I signed up. My wife thought I was crazy because I was really shy, really, really shy. And I signed up for the classes. And at the end of the class, you do a showcase. And so, you know, for 6 weeks, you work on 5 minutes and then you get up on stage at the Vermont Comedy Club. It's packed house because it's all friends and family, very friendly audience. They laugh at everything. You walk on stage, they start laughing. So, you know, and that was my first time and it was a great experience. And it was funny because I was so shy that when I told, like one of my dad's friends found out that I was doing stand-up, the first thing he said was, fucking kid didn't say two words in high school. Now he's doing stand-up. But that was my first time. That was my very first time on stage. And it was great. I loved it. And the worst time I had is, I've never really had a bad, bad show, but I have had weird shows. And
do the best one first.
Well, the best one, I've gotten to become like a regular opener at the Vermont Comedy Club. So I've opened for some great people. And those are just, that's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And you do that. But the absolute best show is when I go out to LA, I get to perform at the Comedy Store on their Monday night potluck show.
Okay.
And I get booked into that and I get to do it. And the very first time I did it was the absolute best show. You know, I only did 3 minutes because you just get 3 minutes, go up there and you do it. And I did well. Audience loved me. But the fact is I stepped off the stage and all I could think of, Robin Williams was on that stage. Richard Pryor was on that stage. Andy Kaufman was on that.
Freddie Prinze. Yeah.
Yeah. George Carlin, yeah. You know, Leno and Letterman and all these people. And I just stepped off the stage and it was like, I got to play center field at Yankee Stadium, you know, where it was like where you walk off the field going, that's where the greats played. And so, you know, the show itself, it was great. I did well. Everybody laughed. You know, they laughed when they were supposed to. It was a good show. But just standing on that stage, that was the greatest moment for me because it was just, you know, you're just here.
Yeah, it's seeing, like a mecca. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you were on the exact same stage that they performed on. So that was great for me. I loved it. And whenever I go back, and then I get to perform at the Comedy Store. That's, you know, that's what I think of. So that's that. The worst is I get asked, I'm a clean comic. Most of the stuff I do is clean. You know, and I always do clean shows. I can go obviously blue if I need to at certain places, but I'm always clean. And I get booked to do senior citizen shows at the senior centers a lot.
Okay.
Because somewhere here they book them. And like once a month, we'll go to a senior center and do them. And it was one of my first shows. And I'm doing the typical bit where I'm doing this thing about how I don't like cats. I hate cats. I love dogs. I hate cats. And I do a joke. I start off with, you know, cats, 9 lives, not a single one worth living.
Oh.
And it leads me into all this stuff about cats and dogs. And this woman who's just sitting there knitting, you know, she's just sitting there in the front knitting. And she goes, you ever had a cat? They're nice pets. And she just starts heckling me. About how good pets, cats are, and how much, you know, and, you know, maybe if I had a cat or if I ever spent time with a cat, and I'm trying to do my material, so flop sweat, and she's just talking to me. She's just knitting and talking about cats. And then another time at a senior show, I you know, you do a lot of wordplay, you do puns, very fun stuff. So I had this one joke. This is the joke, you know, that I do at there. And I'm like, oh, I went furniture shopping with my wife, really big furniture store, one floor. All it was footstools. It's an Ottoman Empire. A dumb wordplay joke. So I tell that joke at a senior center. And as I tell it, oh, I went furniture shopping with my wife. This woman goes, oh, that's nice. And then I go, it was a really big furniture store. And she goes, oh, it must have been in Boston. And I'm like, I'm trying to do this joke. And she thinks it's a conversation. So she's just talking to me as I'm telling these jokes. And she's just constantly like talking to me. And the only other time is I was once doing a fundraiser. And another one of these stupid pun kind of jokes I do is I do a joke that's we're trying to get my cousin into the methadone program. He's on the waiting list. So until then, we're on pins and needles.
Oh,
well, you reacted that way. Now think about people where it's a substance recovery fundraiser.
What the fuck?
They didn't tell me that.
Oh,
they just said it was a fundraiser for this one place down in New Hampshire.
Oh.
I didn't know what it was for.
What happened?
They just looked at me like, and I eventually won them back with some other stuff. But
like, not cool. Like,
that was a weird reaction. Because usually I get a chuckle, a laugh, whatever. But so that was those were my worst times.
That's funny as shit. Oh my god. Oh, that's so funny. You know, I've done elderly housing. I've done some senior centers and things like that. And it's, again, it's exactly what you're talking about. You're like, so I got away. How long you been married?
The I love doing them. I hate them during it.
Yes.
Then when I leave, I'm like, I'm glad I did it. It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's fun. And you know, it's the type of audience that, you know, if you can get them, you know,
yeah.
If you can keep them awake, you know you're doing a good job.
Well, that's true. And the thing is, they don't often at all get to go out to comedy shows and things. So when you come in, you present best you can. And yeah, you're right. You're like, oh, I don't want to do this. You do it. You're like, this is horrible. Well, it's not great. And then you're done. You're like, well, I'm glad I did it.
And then you're sitting there in the off on the side in the, you know, the green room, you know, with the other comedians. And you're like, I'm never doing this again. This is the last time I'm doing this. I'm not doing this again. This is horrible.
Right.
Then you get up there and you do your, like, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you see these people who, you know, are just, you know, they're knitting and they're doing these things and they're talking to you. And then you, you know, then you get off the stage and you you come back and you're like, when's the next one?
Yeah. So speaking of that, when's the next one? Joel, I know that you got a couple of Zoom shows coming in. So what do you got coming up, that something you want to promote so that our listeners can take advantage of?
Well, it's funny. I just got booked into a Zoom show, but we don't have the date. It's in March and it's a fundraiser. And I don't have the date yet for it because they're locking it in. But they said, hey, can you do this end of March? And I said, yes. And so they'll let me know the date. I don't know that one. I probably shouldn't promote this one, but there's a show I'm in tomorrow. it's called the No Idea Improv Showdown.
Okay.
It's on the Vermont Comedy Club YouTube channel.
Okay.
I think YouTube channel, but Facebook page. And I'm not good at improv. So, it's not something that I'm going to be like, hey, come check me out. But it's
the first rule of improv is yes. And not, no, I'm not good. Yeah.
So, they said, hey, we're doing a show Thursday. You want to do it? I'm like, yeah. And then, cause I thought it was like this. I go, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I go, oh, it's an improv show. And at that point I can't go, nah, I don't want to do it. Cause you're like, okay, so I'm in. So I'm doing improv. I've done some improv shows before, but that's usually on stage and in front of people.
Yeah, it's
And so
improv online I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably we'll see what happens. They said it's just crazy and fun, and they'll say that. They said I'll have a good time.
All
right. So 7:30 tomorrow.
Yeah. So for my live listeners, you can go tomorrow. This show will not be ready. Yeah. This show will not be ready in time. So
all right, we'll do an edit point here and go, I did this show the other day and it was awesome. I did improv. So you missed it, but I did it.
But is your calendar up on Instagram and Twitter? Is that how people can find out where you're going to be?
I'm not good at social media. I'm in my 50s.
Believe me, I just talked all about that at the beginning of the show.
I'm not good at social media.
But you know something? Why don't you troll some people who are good at social media, troll him and then find out where he's at.
As I start doing things, I will start doing the Instagram and the Twitter.
Yeah.
And,
well, you had a picture. It's got some of your dates on it.
When I do things, I always take a photo and I post it, you know, so. I posted photos from Salem last year and from Grand Rapids. And you know what? I forgot to tell you, one of the best shows I ever did was just because of the pure honor of it was I got to do the Lucy Comedy Fest at the National Comedy Center.
The Lucille Ball?
Yeah, Lucille Ball Comedy Festival in Jamestown, New York. I got to do that at the National Comedy Center. That one was really cool. But I have pictures of that up on my Instagram.
So check him out. Oh, my God. Now I'm going to go to that. I'm going to check all that. So,
you should go check out the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York. The brand new museum center. It's interactive. It's incredible.
I'll definitely do that. Well, as soon as the pandemic's over, I'll investigate that. But Joel, thanks so much. Thanks for enlightening us about what you can and cannot eat, what you produced and what you didn't produce for Fear Factor. And keep checking out. Hopefully live comedy will come back very soon. And you and I will be on a stage performing very close.
Hopefully soon. I want to come back to Salem.
I know. It'll be good to see you.
Thank you very much. I had a great time.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Bye.
That was Joel Klein, everybody. So funny. So funny. My God, just the stuff. He produced those shows, ladies and gentlemen. That's cray cray. Anyway, let me tell you what I got going on this weekend. Now, I will tell you this. Again, thin weekend. I am actually not working this weekend doing any stand-up, but in the upcoming weeks, I'll be doing some background work on a couple feature films in this area, and they're COVID testing, they're doing all this and the other thing, and it's going to be so much fun and making some money, which will be nice. It's a show that they're producing. I think it's for Amazon. No, it's for AMC. I'm not even sure, but it's getting a lot of heat now, and hopefully it'll be big, and then you get to see me and stuff like that. So that's what I got going on this weekend. So as always, if you guys want to be a guest, a sponsor, you want to leave a question or comment, just call the Radio Irregardless hotline, 978-219-9294. You can also email the show at radioirregardless@gmail.com. Now, we're going to take a couple weeks off, but we'll be back March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, with guest comedian James Mack. Ladies and gentlemen, wash your hands, stay safe, wear a mask. We'll see you soon.
This has been Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. Your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoying. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia, and broadcast and recorded live. We'd like to thank the on-air guest and all of our listeners. The Radio Irregardless theme, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All music and audio clips used are property of their respective copyright owners. All material is the property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2021, all rights reserved. Listen to previous episodes of Radio Irregardless by downloading from iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts can be found. And thank you for listening.
Hello.